Hello and welcome back to the Grow the Jazz podcast. I'll be bringing you fitness education with practical application. And in today's episode, I'm going to give you a bit of an overview as to my creative process when I'm writing training programs. So I'm going to kind of break down the steps that I think about and the order I kind of think about them in to give you a kind of a look at what goes into program design, you know, some of the kind of top line, the key things and the things that you will probably want to think about if you write your own training program. So let's dive straight into it. And I think the first place we need to start when we're writing a training program is thinking about kind of the purpose of the program in general. So we're having a think about the person's goals in terms of, you know, are they strength focused, are they hypertrophy, so muscle building focused, what are their priorities in terms of muscle groups and that kind of thing, because we have a kind of finite amount of time to train and also kind of energy, resources to recover from and that kind of thing. And so we've got to be clear on, okay, do we have certain muscle groups that we want to prioritize, maybe put a bit more volume towards and that kind of thing. So we've got to be clear on that. And we also got to be clear on that kind of time availability. How long does someone have to spend in the gym? How much across the week? Because that's going to have an impact on kind of exercises we choose, how we structure the sessions, whether we're using any kind of techniques like supersets and that kind of thing as well. So that's kind of step one, is just getting real clarity on what the focuses are, what the goals are, and what you're kind of working towards to be able to then go and design the rest of the program. And then the second thing I'd think about is, okay, well, what have we done before? So maybe in your previous phase, you have been really building your RDL and you're feeling in a really good place with it. You've built the skill, you're still progressing nicely, and you might want to keep that exercise in your new program. Same with other exercises. You might, you know, in the same breath have been doing a dumbbell lateral raise, and you just, you know, for the last 3 weeks of your program, you've just been kind of hitting the same numbers. It's gotten really hard to progress. You know, I like to call it, you know, the exercise maybe feels a bit stale, and you're ready for a bit of a different variation. And so having a think about what you've done before, what you want to continue with, what you might want to shake up, that's important too. So kind of from there, we're going to then go ahead and think about splits. Now, people can overthink training split quite a lot, you know, oh, should I do push pull legs, or should I do upper lower, or should I do back and biceps, or blah 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 blah. It really doesn't matter that much, to be honest. It is simply a way of splitting up your training volume across the week, and to be honest, having a bit of variety or going whatever with whatever is your personal preference is going to be just, you know, the best option there. Now, for some people, if we compare, like if people say, okay, should I do full upper body sessions or should I split them into push and pull? For some people, when they split them into push and pull, they prefer it because they just have, you know, they have fewer movement patterns they're focusing on. You know, they get in the mindset that, okay, pull, I'm doing rows, I'm doing pulls, I'm doing biceps. You know, they like to be in the headspace of doing similar things. For other people, they might actually like a bit more variety in their sessions. I personally like having kind of more full upper body sessions because I'd if I'm doing two lateral raise variations, I'd rather do them on two different days, spread them across the week. Some people might find, okay, well, if I have two upper body days, I could do, you know, two shoulder press variations. They wouldn't kind of interfere with each other if I'm, rather than doing them both in one session. So there are kind of pros and cons of both, but I generally say split doesn't really matter that much. It generally is, okay, what's going to work best in your week with your other training, and it is just simply a way of kind of spreading that volume up across the week. But that's probably the next thing you want to decide there. Then, and one of my kind of key things that I think a lot of people don't do is when I'm programming, I have this kind of zoomed out lens. So rather than doing, okay, I'll start with my lower body A session and I program all of that, and then I'll go on to upper A or lower B. Rather than doing that, I'd really recommend zooming out, looking at those kind of slots, so those training slots across the week, and programming almost, you know, particularly if you're doing kind of two lower body sessions, well, program those at the same time, really, so that you're kind of adding things to each session. You're making sure the sessions are covering, you know, and I'll go into this, but covering your different movement patterns. You're making sure that maybe the sessions won't interfere with each other too much. You're making sure you don't have too much overlap and crossover and things that might become redundant, and you're not missing out different things. So you've got to kind of zoom out when you're programming rather than just taking each session as an individual. So then getting into the kind of more nitty-gritty, the next really key bit of advice that I'd give you would be focus on movement patterns rather than exercises. And what do I mean by that? I mean that if you're just thinking about, okay, what exercises do I want to do, you might end up either, you know, you think about, okay, what's a good glute exercise, and you might come up with a load of good glute exercises that you've kind of seen on social media, etc., etc. But actually, if you're just thinking about the exercise themselves rather than the movement pattern, you might end up with either a lot of overlap, so you know you've chosen exercises but actually a lot of them do similar things, train similar functions of a muscle at similar, you know, muscle lengths and that kind of thing, and or you might end up with missing links. So you might, because you've just thought, okay, you know, some good exercises, you might have ended up missing certain movement patterns and different certain functions of the muscle. And so instead of thinking about the exercise first, think about the movement pattern that we want to train, and also the fact that we want to train that muscle at different lengths. So when we talk about muscle lengths, we know a muscle can stretch out and we know it can contract, and we want to load muscles both in their lengthened position and their contracted position as well. So if we take kind of like the glute maximus, for example, so that's our kind of biggest muscle of the glute that makes up like the bulk of the glutes. I know the function of the glute max is hip extension. If we take a step further, so I know I want to train at long muscle lengths, which would give me the patterns of squatting patterns and hinging patterns. And I also know I want to train the shortened position, which would give me kind of bridging pattern, kind of hip extension pattern. So now I know the categories that I need exercises from. So I've got these very clear categories now. Then I can then go ahead and choose exercises from those categories. So I've said, okay, I need squatting patterns. So that might be a leg press, a split squat, a lunge, a step up, etc. So I'm going to choose one or a few of those, and I might put, you know, one squatting pattern in lower A, and I might put one squatting pattern in lower B. Maybe I'd put in, and if I chose a leg press in lower A, I might just decide to choose a unilateral, you know, a single leg squatting pattern in lower B, so that I've got the benefit of, you know, doing some single leg work as well. And so you can see why it's important to kind of look at the sessions from zoomed out, and then I can kind of divide up my exercises between the sessions. I've also said to train hip extension at the long muscle length, I need a hinge. So that could be an RDL variation, that could be a good morning. Maybe the person has been doing barbell RDLs for, you know, a number of phases now, and they feel a bit stuck and stagnant, you know, they're a bit kind of, it's feeling a bit lackluster now. So maybe we switch up to a dumbbell RDL, maybe we do a trap bar RDL, you know, we've got options there. And then, as I said, short muscle lengths to train hip extension. So in the contracted or squeezed position, so that might be a hip thrust or a glute bridge variation or a kickback or a 45 degree hip extension. Again, if I'd just chosen, you know, quote unquote, good glute exercises, I might have ended up with a kickback, a hip extension and a hip thrust all in one session. But actually, when I've broken it down into the categories of what those exercises actually do, the function that they're training, they're all doing very similar things. So I'm just going to have spent, you know, three exercises of my session training a very similar movement pattern, which would become pretty redundant. If we use, you know, we can use the side delts, for example, so the side part of the shoulder. What is the function of that muscle? It's abduction of the arm. So abduction means moving away from the midline of the body. If I want to train it, that muscle at its long or long length, or kind of when it's stretched out, I'm going to be doing things like pressing motions or cable raises where the cable is set at around hand height. So when we're doing like a cable lateral raise, the exercise will put most challenge on the muscle depending on how high we set the cable. So if I want to challenge the long muscle length, I'm going to do it, set it at about hand height. Now if I want to challenge the short muscle length and I'm training abduction of the arm, I might do a dumbbell lateral raise, because for a dumbbell lateral raise we're relying on kind of gravity. So where the dumbbell's furthest away from the body, that's where it's going to be most challenging, and that's in that kind of at shoulder height where the muscle is contracted. I could also do a cable lateral raise at foot height, and then I'm thinking about, okay, what's the technique to do that? Well, with my kind of arm path out to the side or kind of slightly tucked to the front. So you can see here we're thinking about functions of the muscle first, then we choose the exercises from there, and that's how we don't end up with big overlaps and doing lots of redundant things that all kind of train the same function, and you know, we don't end up missing certain functions and training muscles at certain lengths. So that's how we make sure we have good exercise selection across the board for training a muscle group. So from there, we've kind of decided on our exercises. Then we need to think about kind of the exercise order, and there's no, this is the right order, this is the wrong order. Like a lot of these things, it does depend, but what things might I be considering when I'm deciding on the order of my exercises? We may want to train a muscle in its shortened position first. We know that muscles do tend to fatigue first in their shortened position, but then can go ahead and perform just as well in the lengthened position afterwards. So there could be an argument for doing something like a glute bridge or a hip thrust or a kickback or a hip extension first. But in the same breath, when at the beginning of a session, that's when we're physically and mentally freshest. And so if we've got quite a high skill exercise, like a barbell reverse lunge or something like that, actually I might want that pretty near the beginning of my session, because as I said, that's when I'm mentally and physically freshest. So there's an argument for having that first. So as I said, no kind of right or wrong. There's just kind of different arguments for making different decisions, but there are things to consider. There's the kind of traditional way of going about it, always doing compound lifts first, which isn't a bad, you know, it's not a bad approach, but quite often I like to throw a more kind of accessory isolation movement in at the beginning, either because it's training the short muscle length or because it can work as quite a nice way of kind of warming up that muscle group or those joints before then going into a bigger exercise. You know, if we can do a bit of abduction, getting the hips moving before we go into a leg press, that might help someone get a bit of better range of motion or kind of give them a bit of time to mentally switch on. So as I said, lots of arguments for different sides. There's no right or wrong, but things to consider. Another one, if someone gets knee discomfort when doing a hack squat, I might program a leg extension first so that they've, you know, warmed up the knee joint, they've got the quads warm and moving and that kind of thing, and that can help kind of grease the groove a bit before they go into a bigger squatting pattern. So again, there's no right or wrong there, but there's different things to consider when deciding on exercise order. Next up is going to be think about your rep range and the number of sets. Again, multiple things to consider here. Firstly, how experienced is the person, and therefore kind of how close do they work to failure? Now, if someone is experienced, knows how to challenge themselves, push themselves, understands how to kind of work pretty close to failure, they might need fewer sets, less volume to get the same kind of stimulus, because each set is going to be close to failure, versus someone who's newer to lifting who might need more sets because we need to play a bit more with volume because they're not able, because you know, they don't have the practice and skill of kind of pushing themselves quite as hard. We might also think about how many exercises do we already have training this function in the program already. Now, if I've got, you know, a number of squatting patterns, I might do fewer sets, whereas if this is my only squatting pattern across the phase, I might do a few more sets so I've got enough volume of that pattern. I might also think about how fatiguing the exercise is in general. We know that lengthened movements, so like your split squats, your leg press, you know, shoulder presses, exercises where we train the muscle in, it's a stretched out length position, hinges, RDLs, that kind of thing, they often create more kind of fatigue within the muscle. I'm not talking about like feeling tired when we talk about muscular, you know, it's muscular fatigue, often create, you know, tend to lead to a bit more soreness and that kind of thing. So you may kind of have slightly lower volume of those, versus we know the body can kind of tends to recover better from shortened exercises, so thrusts, lateral raises, whatever. And so you might have more sets of those. Is it an isolation or a compound? You know, a big, you know, a hack squat or a barbell back squat, that is mentally tiring. It's central nervous system kind of fatigue and that kind of thing. So you could have, you know, two sets of that, maybe three, versus something that is, you know, pretty a low level of fatigue, you know, a bicep curl, whatever. You could have more sets and not kind of build up as much kind of central nervous system fatigue and that kind of thing. If we're talking kind of specifics, I like maybe anywhere from four exercises per session, four or five for kind of low. I generally go for four, five, maybe six for lower body, up to maybe seven, eight, maybe nine if we're like including core exercises and that kind of thing when it comes to upper body. So in that kind of range. And I quite like kind of between two and four sets per exercise, as I said, depending on the type of exercise, the person, etc., etc. In terms of rep ranges, I quite like a six to eight rep range. I like an 8 to 12 rep range, and occasionally maybe kind of a 10 to 15 rep range, if the kind of exercise requires it. And finally, kind of just when you're programming, you also, and you know, a big thing that I'm thinking about is not just kind of what's quote unquote optimal on paper, but what's practical as well. You know, what's your gym setup like in terms of, am I going to be getting you to go up and down the stairs, you know, between exercises and that kind of thing? Is someone some of these like workouts you see online or these like influencer apps or whatever, they've got these supersets where they're asking you to be supersetting a leg press with the machine shoulder press and something, and it's like in a real life gym scenario, you hogging three machines and machines that are across two different floors or whatever. It's just so unrealistic. And so we've got to think about practicality. We also think about, as I said at the beginning, time availability. Now if someone only has 30 minutes to train on their lunch break, we might be thinking about, okay, can we make sure we're choosing exercises that are good, you know, big bang for buck, you know, probably more kind of compound work, get multiple muscle groups working at once. We might be using things like supersets to save on some time and that kind of thing. So you've got to think about how that fits into your life as well. So there's a bit of an overview. They are just some of the things that go into the program design process. And obviously, you know, that there's a lot of considerations. If you want this all done for you, you are in luck, because I do put together the best possible muscle building and strength building program that I could possibly come up with every 6 weeks. It's my group training program and it's called Train with Jazz. And actually we start brand new workouts next Monday. So if you are interested in optimizing the way you train in the gym, making sure you know, you're doing everything to support your kind of goals of building muscle mass, we have kind of particular emphasis on glutes, on lower body, back, shoulders, core work, working towards chin-ups, that kind of thing as well. You get the chance to ask me any questions, get your form checked and that kind of thing in our private group. You get full access to my app with the video demonstrations, ability to log your training sessions, log your progress in terms of body weight, if that's something you're interested in, progress pictures and that kind of thing. It is, you know, basically everything you could ever need in terms of optimizing the way you train. Now is a really good time to get involved. You can jump into the group at any time, but it is quite nice to join at the beginning of a training phase. If you've got any questions about Train with Jazz that you want to discuss with me, throw me an email, throw me a DM. I'll be more than happy to help. But as I said, there's a lot that goes into program design, and that is why I created this program, because, you know, it's a bit like, you know, trying to fix your car yourself, for example. Like, we could give it a go, but we're probably not going to do that brilliant of a job. And it is the same thing being a professional in exercise and fitness, and, you know, a big part of my kind of expertise being program design. I know it's not always straightforward to do, and a lot of people question what they're doing in the gym. And so that's why I wanted a really accessible kind of price-wise, like, it's such a crazy bargain for what you get. and just have really real clarity and structure when you go into the gym. So Train with Jazz, starting brand new workouts next week. You can join at any point this week. You'll start training with us on Monday. You won't be billed on Monday, but you'll get immediate access to the app, the 90 plus page training and nutrition guide, the Facebook group and that kind of thing as well. But as I said, any questions about that, just let me know and I'll leave the link to join down in the show notes below. Hope this episode was helpful for you in terms of writing your training programs. As always, always happy to help question wise and that kind of thing in emails, in Instagram DMs. So just get in touch and let me know if there's anything else I can do for you.